This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. It's Wednesday. Let's look into a bit of Michigan's history.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do grant.
The other passengers there reluctantly gave up their seats, but I refused.
The young man makes up his mind to work. There's no limit to what he can do.
This is truly the next chapter in General Motors' recovery and turnaround.
You're living at a time of extremism, a time of revolution.
In the early days of making cars, many companies quickly appeared and then disappeared nearly as fast. In an article in Michigan History magazine, Steve Ostrander noted there were 34 automakers in the 1920s. One of them was named after a World War I flying ace. And Steve Ostrander joins us now. I take it this car company not only was named after this war hero, but he was part of the company.
He was. They did, you know, set out to trade on his name. When he came back from the war, we're talking about World War I now, he was, you know, the most decorated Allied pilot. And, you know, he was very famous, almost like Lindbergh after him. He was very famous, and so they wanted to cash in on that notoriety. But Eddie Rickenbacker was, he was a principled man, and he said, well, if I'm going to be involved in this car company, I do want to be involved. So they made him marketing director and a vice president of the company.
Well, that makes sense with all that fame. How did he get involved in building cars? Why was that an interest?
Eddie Rickenbacker actually had been interested in racing cars before he joined the Army. He actually was interested at a very young age. He worked after school. He worked nights in a machine shop, and he took a correspondence course in mechanical engineering. So he left school, actually, I think he left when he was about 14, and went to work for a company that was developing and actually racing cars. And he ended up becoming a race car driver, too, in his late teens. So he was very interested in automobiles. So it was kind of a natural thing for him.
You write the sales were strong within the first couple of years. What kind of success did they have?
By 1923, they had sold about 6,000 automobiles. But things started to go downhill and sales tapered off, and it wasn't as successful as they had hoped it would be.
Part of the problem was that Rickenbacker came up with an innovation that car manufacturers all use today, but it ended up destroying the Rickenbacker car company. What was that innovation?
That was four-wheel brakes. Up until then, most cars only had brakes on the rear. So Rickenbacker decided, well, four-wheel brakes is the way to go. After all, he was a race car driver. He knew about these things. So the company decided to go this way, and they even went so far as to stencil on the spare tire canvas cover on the back of the car, four-wheel brakes. But other companies tried to sort of run a smear campaign against them, saying that four-wheel brakes are dangerous. The car will stop too fast. People behind them will run into them. There'll be all these rear-end collisions. And the only reason they put four-wheel brakes on the spare tire cover is to warn people that this is a Rickenbacker, so you better be careful. They might stop too fast.
That's just amazing. And I guess Studebaker was one of the leading companies that were not kind to Rickenbacker.
Studebaker was probably the worst offender, but a lot of the other ones, they sort of jumped on that bandwagon too. There was a lot of competition at this time. 34 car makers all vying for, you know, the public to buy their cars. And the other thing that happened too was that one of the principals in the company died, ironically, in a car accident, and that really set back the company. It kind of put them into a tailspin.
What became of Eddie Rickenbacker after his days as an auto manufacturer?
Well, he actually left the company. He resigned because he sort of saw the handwriting on the wall. Unfortunately, he was left in debt. He was in debt to the tune of about $250,000, which was a lot of money in those days. But he vowed that he would pay off his creditors. Under the terms of the bankruptcy of the company, he didn't actually have to do that, but he said, no, I'm going to pay off these people that trusted me. And he did that. One of the things that he did after he left the company is he bought Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He was the chairman of the board for many, many years. And he also became chairman of the board of Eastern Airlines because of his interest in flying.
Steve Ostrander is with the Michigan History Center. We've been talking about the Rickenbacker Automobile Company, which started out with a strong line of vehicles only to end because of being, well, slandered by the competition. Steve, thanks very much.
Thank you.